is a real emotional time. My wife and I celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary back in June. And then here, 60th anniversary of the church here in August.
Okay.
We met in high school and began dating and been married a long time. Olmsted Baptist Church has been here a long time. I remember hearing about Olmsted Baptist Church back in the 1950s. I was attending Lexington Baptist College, and someone came from Olmsted, and I heard some preachers mention Olmsted. Someone had come down here and preached a meeting. I had no idea where Olmsted was, and the Lord worked providentially to eventually bring us here to Olmsted, which was rather surprising in a way, but it turned out to be a great blessing. I don't intend to make this a conversation about me, but the church called me on the 14th of March in 1978. I was 39 years old. I accepted that evening, that Sunday evening, when I got the word and got the call, and the one who called said, "Well, when will you be able to come?" I said, "I'll be there Wednesday night." By the time I got here Wednesday night, I was 40 years old. And it used to be, I don't know whether they still do that, they got so many different terms for age groups now, but it used to be you were a younger person until you were 40, and then you were middle-aged. So I said, "Well, you called me as a young person, but I was middle-aged by the time I got here." But the Lord blessed, and, you know, my wife and I have had a good marriage, but it hadn't always been a smooth road. She's had to put up with me, which has been difficult, I'm sure. And I've had to put up with her, which has been some difficulty, too. But we love each other and have learned to love each other more. We have a son and four daughters, and she taught our daughters to cook and to sew, taught all of our kids to play the piano. We have five, and three of them learned to, and so she got a 60% on that. But since she's had arthritis, I've been doing the cooking. And she said, and one of some of the girls said, "Well, where did you learn to cook?" I said, "Well, I watched you all for all these years, you know. At least I can cook something." And so it's been a joy to be able to help out. It's my turn now, because she was so faithful in doing all those things down through the years. But it is a joy to be here, and I'm thankful for the pastor you have and for his family and for this church. And it is an honor to be invited to come back and speak at this anniversary Sunday. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke in the 19th chapter. And what I've always felt like is I appreciate, as a child of God, and I've been saved for I've been saved for 60 years, and I still love to hear the gospel. And sometimes folks will say, "Well, you don't preach the gospel to God's people, you just preach it to the lost." Well, we preach the gospel to both. And I think whenever I hear the gospel preached, I rejoice as much as I can. And so this morning I want to preach a very simple sermon, which has the gospel in it. And the young folk may know this name quite well. It's about Zacchaeus. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous preacher in England back in the 1600s in London. And he had a preacher's school. And he used to have the students, just on the spur of the moment, he would assign them a passage of Scripture. And he would say to them, get up in front of the class, and there were other preachers there. They had a couple of hundred at one time. And he would say to them, get up and expound on the scripture. And one of the men that they had there studying was a real short fellow. And he called his name and said, would you go up and expound on Luke, the 19th chapter, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And the little fellow got up and he looked down at it and he read it. And then he said this, Zacchaeus was a small man, and so am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree, and so am I. Zacchaeus came down, and so will I. And he went back and sat down. And Charles Spurgeon said, well, I guess he made the best of that scripture that he could. And so he did. And that has always struck me that he did as well as he did. I want to begin reading here in this first verse in Luke 19. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is dealing in this passage. He's not talking that much himself, but he is the central figure. And it talks about the conversion of Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, this is the Jews, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The verse that I want us to remember very clearly is this 10th verse. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you are here this morning, the Lord is seeking in some way toward your heart. When I began dating Linda, we went to her church mainly because I was going to a Southern Baptist church that was very liberal. We had preachers that came in from the seminary, and at that time the seminary was sending out preachers that told more jokes than they read Bible and told stories. And I had made profession of faith. You know, we didn't have air conditioning back then. We had funeral home fans, which was kind of appropriate, I guess, if someone was preaching on the condemnation of a sinner to look down and see a funeral home's name. But we had the fan, we had the windows open. Flies came in all the time. And I remember one night we had a sort of a fiery preacher, and he was really sweating. I have one hanky here. He had two or three, and he just kept wiping his forehead and dripping with sweat. And finally, at the end of it, they gave an invitation of several verses. And then he made this plea. He said, I have preached my heart out and no one's come. Well, I felt like he needed a little encouragement, I guess. And I went forward and made a profession of faith and was baptized and tried to be faithful to the church. But, you know, nothing happened in my heart. And really, this whole thing, when we read about Zacchaeus, is what happened in his heart. Although the Bible doesn't use that term, but we see there's a drastic change. And the Bible doesn't use the word repentance here, but there is definitely repentance. And the Bible doesn't use the word particular redemption, but we see the Lord seeking him out with all of that crowd around. And so it's a very simplistic message, but it's a very important message that we have here. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. This is more than just a bit of interesting history. This is really an example of a sinner who needs a Savior, and of the Savior, the only Savior that there is, who met him and sought him out. The Bible tells us here that there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, I don't know how you feel about the IRS, but I don't think most people would extend a lunch invitation to an IRS person. If they came knocking on your door, you wouldn't say, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." I think we ought to pay our taxes, but we pay them because we're required to. And we always paid our taxes. Sometimes it was hard to do. As a pastor, you have to pay double on your Social Security, on your Medicare or whatever it is, Social Security. And we would always save up. Every week we'd save a little bit back, so at the end of the quarter we could pay our taxes. Well, back in Rome it was a little different, and there may be some of this going on today, but back then when a man was a publican, he was a tax collector, and he gouged the people for whatever he could get. He got a percentage of it. And here was a chief publican, and what do we find out about him? He was a rich man. And so people hated him. You know, if they'd see this man, they'd say, "There's that publican." And publicans were looked down upon by most of the people because of their attitude and because of the way they operated. And Rome didn't care. As long as they got their percentage, they didn't care what he kept. And so here's a man that has all of the things this world can provide except peace of heart and mind. And you soon find out that the riches of this world don't last very long, and they really don't matter in the last days. The first time I ever heard this said was said by Brother Ed Kittle. He said, "I've never seen a U-Haul truck behind a funeral hearse." And that's true. You don't take it with you. We leave it all here. Incidentally, I did talk to Brother Kittle this week. He was very upset that he couldn't come. And he said, "I had hoped that I'd be able to, but it's going to be a couple more weeks before his, what he calls his stump, his diabetes got so bad they had to cut his leg off about the calf. And so it's got to heal about two weeks longer before he can get this prosthesis on." He said, "I sit here in the dark and don't get out very much." His wife had a wreck driving, and so he's pretty restricted until one of his children comes and takes him. So Linda and I are going to go eat lunch with him here before long. And I told him we'd be over and we'd go out to lunch, and he was delighted at that. But he wanted to be here, and I think he sent a message for you all, so you'll probably hear that later on. But I think one thing we see here is, though this man had all that he had, he realized there was something he really needed. It doesn't matter what you have in your pocket or what you have in the bank. It's what you have in your heart. And here was a man who was greedy, and he became very rich. And yet, when he'd heard about Jesus, and we don't know how he'd heard, I mean, the word was spread around. Jesus healed so many people and went around preaching the kingdom of heaven and proclaiming himself as the Savior, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And adjectives are important. He didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." So the difference between A and D is very important. And so he went around proclaiming that, and no doubt Zacchaeus had heard some of that, and so he wants to see him. But here in verse 3, it says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not see for the press, because of the crowd, because he was little of stature. One thing I have really rejoiced in the gospel is the Lord saves all kinds of people. I said this many times when I was here, and I've continued to say it as I've preached the gospel. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. There are no better and worse. We're all worse. I can say, well, I didn't get so bad, but I'll tell you, a lot in our community were restrainers. I knew if I did something bad, they'd tell my dad, and I'd be in bad trouble. So even our neighbors helped keep me on the straight path. There were a lot of things my brother and I thought about doing that we didn't do, not because we didn't have a desire to, but because we were afraid to. And my dad wasn't a real mean man, and my mother wasn't either, but both of them knew how to use a belt. And for some reason, it did not warp me. You know, we've heard so much psychology today that you hinder children by not bragging on them and not letting everybody be a winner. It doesn't need much to strive for if you lose and they say, oh, you won too, even though you came in last. I mean, that's just foolishness. But here was a man who was short. But the Lord didn't say, well, you didn't grow big enough to be saved. You can't see over the crowd. Zacchaeus finds another route. And he says here, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Now, that's what we would call a fig tree. So he climbed up in this tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. I'll have to say, I did not run to find Jesus. The first time that I took Linda out was after a football game. And I played football at Boone County, and I took the class that I took because the coach taught it, and Linda was in the class. She liked business math better than I did. And I kept trying to catch her eye, and for some reason she told the girl by her I was acting silly. And I guess I was, but then I finally caught her in the hall and asked her to come out, and she looked at me and looked at me, and I thought, oh no, she's going to say no, but I was hoping she wouldn't. And then she said, yeah, I'll go. And I was so relieved. And after we'd had a date, and I talked about football the whole night, I thought she liked football, and it turned out she hates football. But I said, well, let's go out again. And she said, well, why don't you take me to church? And Big Bone Church at that time had some real strong preaching. Big Bone Baptist, it's one of the old churches in Boone County. 1843 is when it was organized. And the preacher preached strong gospel messages. And we went in, and she said, where do you want to sit? Well, there was an empty back seat, and I said, back here. And when he got through preaching, I thought he had an index finger that long, and it was pointing to the back seat all the time. And I came out of there very uncomfortable. And I tried my best to forget it. And then it became that I regularly went with her to church, and I heard the message over and over. And even at that, it was over a year before I was saved. And so the gospel has to be preached over and over and over, and that's what the Lord tells us to do. That's what he commissioned his churches to do, to continue to preach the gospel and teach the truths of God's word. And that's what churches have done down through the years. And so here's Zacchaeus climbing up in the tree, and some people said, well, he sought the Lord. Well, yes, he was desperate enough to seek the Lord. When the Lord finally got me to a place of strong conviction, I was in college at the time, and I heard a sermon. I can't remember who preached it. I can't remember the text, except I do remember him saying this: Jesus died on the cross for sinners, if you don't have a Savior, you're going to hell. And I went home to my dorm room. I got down beside my bed, and just in desperation, I cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, I am so ignorant. I don't know how to believe. I don't even know how to trust you. But you said if I'll throw myself upon you and trust in you, you'll save me." And that's what I do. I throw myself upon you. I have to depend upon you. And I was ignorant. But the Lord opened my heart and enabled me to repent and trust the Savior. I tell you, I was seeking Him then. But He had, when I began understanding the Bible and reading through the Bible and seeing what it says, I realized that He had led me all that time. And I've heard some people preach about God's elective purposes, and sometimes I've heard them preach with a frown on their face. I tell you, we ought to rejoice that the Lord does elect sinners and calls them to repentance. And some folks say, "Well, I can't enjoy that." Well, let us enjoy it. Let them be miserable if they want to be. But it's a doctrine we can enjoy, because we see the Lord has called us and brought us to a place of repentance where we trusted in Christ as our Savior. And so here's Zacchaeus climbing up a tree so that he could see Jesus, because he heard He was going to pass that way. And you'll notice here in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw Him. Now, of all that crowd, and that's the beautiful thing about God's salvation. I used to hear preachers say, "Well, this is a personal salvation." I didn't know what they meant by that. The Lord deals with us on an individual basis. I mean, I've sometimes preached a sermon and I thought, so-and-so really needs this sermon. And when we dismissed the service, several other people who I had no idea would be interested, particularly in that sermon, they come in and say, "It's just what I needed, preacher." Preachers don't know what people need. They just need to preach the Word of God, and God makes it particular. That's why I like to call it particular redemption. I don't use the term, I forgot the term. That's a problem when you get to be old. Limited atonement, yeah. I don't object to that, but I think particular redemption is a much better descriptive term, and that's usually the term I use. They both mean basically the same, but to me, one of them sounds like it's limited and people that want to be saved can't be saved. And that's what those who don't believe that doctrine say about us. Well, what if you want to be saved and the Lord's limited and you're not going to be saved? Well, if you want to be saved, it's because the Lord has stirred your heart to want to be saved. And when you come to that place, then the Lord can save you. And that's exactly what happened here with Zacchaeus. But notice what the Lord says. He stopped and looked up out of all of this crowd. And we don't know how many were there. When the Bible uses the word press, it means they were all pressed together. It was just a big crowd of people. And he stops and looks up in the street and sees this little fellow up in there. And he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today I must abide at thy house." So we see the Lord taking the initiative here. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And I'm so thankful that's the way it is. If it had been left up to me, I'd still be lost. I'd still be as desperate as I was. But the Lord is the author of our faith, and He is the finisher of our faith. I used to work with a man who was had a brand of Methodism, and he was going to a seminary near Lexington. And he and I were talking, and he said, "Well, we reclaimed a man just this past week." And I said, "You reclaimed a man? What do you mean?" "Well, he'd lost his salvation, but we were able to reclaim him, and so we were real happy with that." And I said, "Well, I don't quite understand what you mean reclaiming. If he was really saved, How did he lose his salvation? He said, well, he just quit believing. And I said, you mean to tell me that Satan is more powerful than God? Well, he never did answer that question. We got on to something else after that. But when God gives us salvation, he gives us an eternal salvation. It's not something that we bargain with. It's not something that we hang on to. You know, those that don't believe in God's elective sovereign purposes act like we're hanging on and we got to hang on. Well, I tell you, you try hanging on to something, you're going to soon lose your grip. But it's good to be in the Lord's hands. That insurance company says it's good to be in their hands. It's better to be in the Lord's hands. You can't be in any better hands than his. And that's what he is saying to Zacchaeus here. Make haste and come down. And he did. I must abide in my house. He made haste, verse 6, came down and received him joyfully. No doubt when Zacchaeus started out here, he was a very unhappy man. Rich, but unhappy, which is often the case. I've talked to people that have said, well, if you're going to pastor, you're never going to make a lot of money. Well, that's true if you're going to be an honest pastor. Now, TV has promoted some people and made them very rich, but I don't consider them God's called pastors or preachers. But someone who's going to serve in one of the Lord's vineyards, Brother Kazee used to say, who is plowing in God's small garden, the local church, the Lord has a special emphasis for them. The Lord has a special blessing for them. Not materially, but having a lot of money is not the important thing. Serving the Lord is the important thing. And here Zacchaeus was rich as could be, as rich as anyone. They're so rich that people were jealous of him. But he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Now, after he received the Lord, and I think that's a biblical term, we can say we received the Lord. Paul said this gospel is worthy of all acceptation. I think sometimes we get hung up on little words if we're not careful. I've heard some preachers be criticized because they said, accept the Lord as your Savior. Well, we receive him, but he's the one that does the work. I didn't understand that when the Lord first saved me. You know, I was just so relieved to believe that I had thrown myself upon him, and that's what I did. And I remember saying at that time, Lord, if you don't save me, I deserve to go to hell anyway. And that's true. But I tell you, when he reaches down and embraces you and pulls you to himself, you can rejoice in his great salvation. And I believe that's what Zacchaeus experienced here. He received him joyfully. People like to act like they're real happy with life if they've got a lot. You know, we're no less valuable in God's sight if we've got a dime, or if we've got $50 or $1,000 or however many you could add zeros to. The Lord tells us to take the gospel to the poor, tells us to take it to the homeless, tells us to take the gospel to the whole world. And that's our commission. That's why we have missionaries. We can't all go to all of these places. But we'll never be happy unless we are participating in the Lord's work. And so here, Zacchaeus is joyful, but look how the response of the others were. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now really what that's saying is, he's a sinner and we're not. There's a lot of people that do that. I talked with a man who I went to school with, and his wife claimed to be saved, and she died. And I was talking with him, and he said, well, I think I'm going to make it. I think she's there in heaven, and I think I'm going to make it. Now, I may have to negotiate a little bit when I get there to the gate. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people that think that. They're going to negotiate with God. The negotiation was made by the Lord Jesus Christ there at the cross. He paid the full debt. And all we can do is thank the Lord that our salvation has been purchased, that we are bankrupt, that we're sinners, that we're nothing in God's sight. But He loved us with an everlasting love. We could never deserve what He's done for us. But He has saved us by His marvelous grace. The thing that I've always been thankful for with Olmsted Baptist Church, there was some difficulty with that first pastor. He didn't believe you ought to preach the gospel to the lost. And the church asked him to leave as soon as they found out his doctrine. And the church has had pastors that have preached the gospel since. And I have great respect for that. And the men you have called have earnestly sought to proclaim the free grace of God through Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is preaching. We don't have the whole message here, but in essence, that's what He's saying here. And then the crowd says, well, He's a sinner. He's gone in to eat with a sinner. Well, I'm glad He deals with sinners. I would have been in bad shape if He didn't. So would you. And then Zacchaeus stood here in verse 8 and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. We talk about repentance, and repentance is a turning from and a turning to. There was a time when the preacher preached, and I thought that finger was so long and it was pointing at me. No matter where he was pointing it, it was ending up at me. And I felt condemned and tried to eliminate that, tried to forget it. And I, during the week, I'd think something about the Lord and about condemnation, and I'd say, don't think about that. I'd tell myself that. But here is a man who was going that way, gimme, 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 and now since the Lord has changed his heart, he says, Lord, I'll give half to the poor. That's a sure sign of repentance. And so he was going to give what he thought he should give, and he said, and if I have taken anything from any man. That if probably ought to be erased. I mean, that's in Scripture, but in his heart, he knew he had taken. It wasn't just a matter of possibility. But he says, I will give, if I've taken it by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. There's something very important about our testimony. When the Lord saves us, there is a difference in our lives. We are to give a testimony to Him. We are to thank Him and praise Him. And that's what Zacchaeus is seeking to do here. And Jesus said this, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Abraham is the first one in the Scripture that's mentioned. He believed God and he accounted it unto him for righteousness. The first man that we know of that had faith in the promised Messiah. And then he goes on to say what his purpose is. And that's the purpose that this church and every church that's a true church has. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so the question comes, do you know the Savior? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you run from Him? Have you thought you could dodge Him? That you could live your own life and do it the way you want to do it. And that everything will be all right. One time here, the very first Sunday of the year, I preached a sermon on what if this year, from Jeremiah, what if this year thou shalt die? We had some old people here that were seemingly hanging on. It was a teenage boy. And it broke our hearts. And I had no idea when I preached that sermon how that year would turn out. But we never know. I have held funerals for kids that were 3 and 4 days old. And for people that were so old, there weren't any other leaves on the tree. They had almost no one to visit them because they were so old. in their 90s. We never know. We have today. But the Bible says now is the accepted time. We don't even have a promise of today. I know of a few preachers that have fallen dead in the pulpit. Or people who've just fallen over when they thought they were healthy. I did the doctor this week and he gave me the final report, you know, labs and all of this. I came away saying, well, on paper I'm pretty healthy. But you don't know. We have no idea. Now is the accepted time, is what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. It was the day of salvation for Zacchaeus. And if you can trust Christ as your Savior, if you feel His Spirit pulling your heart and dealing with your heart, and you can, in repentance and faith, just throw yourself upon Him, you don't have to understand everything. You just have to realize what a terrible sinner you are and what a wonderful Savior He is. If you trust Him, He'll save your unworthy soul. And may God help you that you would trust in Him. And if He leads you, that you come and confess Him as your Lord and Savior.